We've been speaking about samanda, making the initial connection. And I want to move on to abhideya, or the process of purification that we follow. It means that something increases in our Krishna consciousness. Abhideya means that at that stage, Krishna really takes on a different dimension for us. In Sambandha, it is a struggle. It is really a struggle to be Krishna conscious. It is a difficulty to sort of deal with material desires, to deal with social issues, the people one is with, to deal with one's own conditioning, one's habits, all these things that it deals with where one comes from and how to fit in this process. It's all part of sambandha. Mm-hmm. Maybe we will struggle with sambandha for the rest of our life. Maybe it will never fully happen. So we're looking here at the nectar of devotion. On the right side, we see the process of devotional service, starting from Shraddha, our initial faith, then Sadhu Sangha Devotee Association, Bhajana Kriya, the regulated process. And all those three, at least the first three, are part of the initial process of sambandha. Our initial faith has to be there, otherwise how can we start Krishna consciousness? We have to start becoming fixed in the association with the devotees. We have to at least choose for it and say, I'm going to be in the association with the devotees, for better or worse. Somehow or other I'm going to do it. Then Bhajana Kriya, the regulated process. The regulated process means we begin to follow sadhana bhakti. It's not easy. We begin to rise from mobility, tire of not, and so on. We just fix ourselves. We begin to chant a prescribed number of rounds, minimum 16, and not just chant, but really try to chant without making offenses. Try to chant attentively. So we are at that stage beginning to apply ourselves to the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, which is the beginning of Sadhana Bhakti. In other words, we begin to get serious about following the rules and regulations, and therefore Anartha Nivritti begins to take place. We now really begin to become purified. There's an embassy in Nivritti somehow or other, a typo. It is said that all of these are sort of within the realm, that means the first four, within the realm of the Kanishtha Adhikari. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Tattva Viveka is making that point. He says, anywhere from Shraddha to Anartha Nivritti is the domain of the Kanishtha. Kanishtha means weak faith, and it's not just sort of proverbial weak faith, but it means that he doesn't put Krishna first. Such a devotee, just Krishna is there, and Krishna consciousness is there, but if it doesn't materially make sense, then what to do? Then the material need will have their preference. It's really at the Madhyam Adhikari platform that a person is so fixed that he says, whatever Krishna wants, whatever he wants. Since we were all doing drama, I'll do a little one for you too. Simple, but basically, there is a football team and they are in some exotic country, maybe Brazil, maybe somewhere over there. And they're training in the football stadium, kicking the ball around and sort of doing all the necessary tricks. And meanwhile, the trainer is there to make sure that everybody is like in line. Okay, man, we've got a match to play. All right, man, no fooling around here. I know that some of you have been very curious and to go see this life volcano that is not far from here. Well, I've got news for you. You're not going anywhere. We are here to win a match and so on. So basically, this is all going on. In the middle of the training, one day, indeed, the volcano plays its part as well. I have a few actors over here. They are a volcano, and they sort of suddenly explode. The entire team flies through the air. Team is flying, and lands with the crash landing, unfortunately, the end of the team. What to do? The trainer, being a little more fortunate than the rest of the team, flies through the sky and sees the edge of the roof coming close and clamps onto him. But, you know, as a trainer, you don't train as much as the players, right? And his belly had been somewhat growing. And he tried to pull himself up, didn't work. He tried to swing the leg up the roof, didn't work. And he realized that maybe I am not saved. I might be falling down in a matter of minutes, seconds. How long can I hang on this roof? Oh God, please help me. Need any help? Said a voice from behind. Who are you? I am God. Oh God, please, God, please help me. All right, just let go and I will catch you. Can't you catch me first and then I'll catch you? Yes, so that is the point. That is the point where Nishta is reached, where one says, yes, I will let go. I will let go, I will trust that Krishna will catch me. I will just follow whatever he says in the scripture, whether it materially makes sense or not, I will do it. I will just follow it. I will have that faith. It is really at that point that one becomes very fixed. Nishta, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam Naistiki. Naistiki is described, Prabhupada says in one lecture commenting on that verse, at least 60% purified. At least 60, maybe 70. At least 60-70% purified. That means more inclined towards Krishna than towards anything else. It is at this stage that Abhideya begins to really happen. So Abhideya, it means we get more serious about the process. It also means that material desires, who cares so much about material desires in Abhideya? Who cares about the mind? Oh, my mind. And that's a more advanced stage of devotional service. The mind. But the mind will always come up with something? Who puts faith in the mind? Who takes the mind serious? Just like a small child, crying, this, that. Who's taking it so serious? A child's issues, how serious? Of course, must be given attention. That's another thing. But it's not like something we put in the newspaper. Yeah? Such and such child yesterday had a great shock because it couldn't get that little bit of pasta it wanted and cried for 3 hours. Headlines, right? Headlines in the Morning Post. I saw it all over, you know, like front page headlines. Obviously not. It's not anything major. So whatever the mind comes up with, I don't like. Anyway, that's the mind. So the mind is taken like a child, a small, spoiled child that is just nagging. What can be done?
Ice cream! Ice cream!
I always find it interesting how those words coincide, right? It's like somehow or other in the English language, it's like
ice cream!
And it's like. That's pretty good. You can scream as much as you like, but you ain't get no ice cream, okay? You got it? Because you know that if you give it ice cream once, right, for such screaming, then it will scream forever. Yeah? So, same with the mind. Prabhupada, in one lecture, gives a strong presentation. He says, do you know how to tame a tiger? And Prabhupada knew everything, even taming tigers. Do you know how to tame a tiger? Do you know how to tame a tiger? Do you know how to tame a tiger? Well, listen to this, because it might come in handy. You never know. It's quite simple. First thing first, fasting before the tiger. So the tiger's in his cage and he's fasting, and you know how it is on a fast day. After a while, you feel a little weak. So the tiger starts to feel really weak, rubber legs and so on. It's just then that the trainer comes into the cage, boots on, whip in hand, chair, puts that chair in the nose of the tiger who was already hungry and feeling rotten. And then just bang, bang, mercilessly beaten by that whip and kicked with that boot in the face. And the tiger is, oh, it's like, I guess, wow. But half crying, he withdraws into a corner of the cage. Right? And just then, the trainer disappears. More fasting. So a few days later, that poor tiger is at its very end. Then the cruel trainer just comes into this cage, lifts his whip, and even before beating the tiger, already goes like, oh no, not this on top of everything else. Just then, the trainer gives him something to eat. Then the tiger kisses the feet of the trainer. You are my master, whatever you want, I will do. This is how one trains a tiger. Can I be sentimental in training a tiger? Because, you know, otherwise the tiger will train you. Tigers are not pussycats. So, perhaps in the same way, we should train one. The chair and the whip and the whole thing. Stop it. So, at least someone is ready for that. One is basically ready for that. So then one can truly go fast in the process of purification. It really sets in. Maybe Abhideya sets in a little earlier at the Nartanaviti, but at Nista, the purification really begins to take place. And the transformation that is required begins to take place. And gradually, parinprista, the higher taste, is developing. When we get to ruchi, it is parinprista, it is higher taste. We have no more taste for material things. It's so empty. It's just so empty. Material enjoyment, so empty. Can we eat chocolate? You can eat chocolate. Why in the world would you want to eat chocolate anyway? Produced by some filthy economy factory, right? And even the World Health Organization says that a certain percentage, quite high actually, of insect particles is allowed. Because they crush the cocoa with big machines and they really can't take out the little fruit flies, in other words, little gnats that are hanging over rotten fruit and crush in the chocolate. Oh, well. The World Health Organization has mentioned that a decent percentage, I forgot how much, is no problem at all. Yum yum. Can we have chocolate? I don't know. I wouldn't advise it. What do we have instead? Monarchic sweets, of course, offered to the deities. Mahaprasadam.
Now, bring more. Bring all.
That is different, because that is transcendental. So, no more taste. No more taste for anything mundane. Not interested. If Krishna is not part of it, what's the point of it? Prabhupada, in his first initiations, which he performed in New York, it was a little tricky. Because the devotees, they sat down, they took initiation, and then afterwards, Prabhupada, the next day, Prabhupada on a piece of paper wrote the four regulative principles. At least we got a chance to prepare before, but these devotees, they were just told after. So there was a bit of a shock. And it also said, no frivolous sports there. Can you imagine? Yeah. So, do we really have to give up our game of, kicking the ball around and so on? No? Soccer? Okay. A bill, Or a game of cricket, something? Do we? Can we? There's no question that one is even interested at one point. Yeah? It doesn't make sense. Because, just as Prabhupada said, all these men running after this ball. Yeah? All these men on the field running after a ball. But the question is, who is the ball? They think they are the players, but actually they are the ball. Yes, you think you are a player, but actually you are a ball. You can be kicked out any minute. Krishna kicks you, there you go. Yeah. So you never call yourselves a ball, then? But now you know. Yeah. That's the joke of the day, You always tell little kids' birthday party, eh? Anyway, but the point is there. We are the ball. So when the taste is there, the higher taste, then one wants Krishna with much more eagerness. With much more eagerness, not just, I want to be a pure devotee. Yes. Yes. Do you want to be a devotee? Yes. But it's not so convinced. Yes, I want to be a devotee, but I also want to be something else. That's it. But not at that stage. At that stage, one wants to be a devotee. And the attachment to Krishna is increasing day by day. And one is beginning to operate on Bhava. It is that stage where one is moving on to the Uttama Adhikari platform. Whether it starts at Ruchi, or Ashakti, or at Bhava, may be debated. But basically means that one operates only on that relationship with Krishna. In Prayojana, in the topmost stage, the only thing that is important is the relationship with Krishna, and that is what one is living for. And one is always living in that relationship with Krishna. Whereas Krishna, how can I please Krishna? Where can Krishna be met? Where can he be found now? In our sampradaya, in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are always experiencing vipralamba or viraha bhava, separation from Krishna. So the separation from Krishna, we are not thinking, oh, here is Krishna, I have Krishna, I'm so advanced now, I'm always with Krishna. No, we are thinking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where can he be found now? Sometimes he's found in the kitchen, in the dirty pots. Sometimes he is found in the holy name. Yes. Krishna can be found, but Krishna is not so easily available. One has to dig, one has to endeavor, one has to earn. We cannot just walk around and think, now I have Krishna. Although the Prema Bhakta exactly thinks that. The Prema Bhakta, it is said when one is getting to the stage of Nishtha, one is saying, Krishna, I am yours. And completely, Krishna, I'm yours. Prior to that, it's like, Krishna, I'm yours, but please don't make it too tough. Krishna, I'm yours, but, you know, I mean, please consider, I am the one I am, I have my nature. You know, give me a break, Krishna. So, that's the earlier stage. But at the stage of Nishtha, no. Then it's Krishna, I am yours, unconditionally. But at the stage of Bhava and Brahma, it is Krishna, you are mine. So it says that you are mine. But yet, that feeling may be there, but Krishna, each time again, is slipping away. That is the nature of Krishna. He slips away, and each time, again, we have to earn Krishna, his favor, his grace. We can never ever think, and now I've chanted those 64 rounds and that chapter of Bhagavatam for the last year, and now naturally I have Krishna. No. Even with all that, with all those rounds and the Bhagavatam, will you have Krishna then if you chant 64 rounds? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Even if you chant more rounds on the 28th every day, will you then have Krishna? Prabhupada was not automatically impressed. There was this African devotee who was chanting many rounds, and Prabhupada, he's chanting 64 rounds. Okay. Prabhupada, now he's chanting 124 rounds, 128 rounds. Prabhupada, now he's living in a tree. Prabhupada's not interested. Such things could not attract Prabhupada unless they were done for the pleasure of Krishna. Because the question that could be asked, is he chanting with love? Is he chanting with love? Is he chanting it for the pleasure of Krishna, or is he chanting it for name, fame, and glory? Who is he chanting for? If one chants 64 rounds for name, fame, and glory, then maybe those rounds don't help so much. Maybe then better chant a few less and just surrender to some practical service. like that. Anyway, it said in Baba there's still a sense of suffering. In Baba, although one is in ecstasy, sometimes one still experiences obstacles and suffering in the material world. But in praying, when one comes to praying, one doesn't see anything, any obstacle in the world. One begins to see everything is perfect. Completely perfect. Everything. Completely perfect. So, what an amazing state of consciousness that is. There's nothing wrong in the whole world. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Everything is perfect. Just think about that. That is praying. So we just went a little bit through the process. So on the left side, sadhana bhakti, devotional service and practice, vaidhi, following the regulations, raganuga, is where that becomes, the desire to serve Krishna becomes spontaneous. So that is an advanced stage. That doesn't come before nista. That is nista. That is obviously nista, where one spontaneously desires to serve Krishna. 60-70% purified. And then, yes, bhava, the taste of bhava begins in ruchi as shakti, and okay, then of course bhava is where it flourishes. And so the area covered by this bhava bhakti is from ruchi as shakti to bhava, and then prema bhakti, love of God. So we can understand that somewhere in us a transformation must take place in our devotional service when we go to Abhideva. We must become more eager to satisfy Krishna. What does it mean? How do you get there? How do you go to that barrier, right? From trying to be fixed up? Are you fixed up? Are you fixed up? Are you fixed up? I'm really trying. Prabhupada called the entire GDC into his room and said, "Are you convinced?" And everyone looked at the ground, hoping that he wasn't going to ask them, "Are you convinced?" You say to the crowd, and then you look at someone. Quickly look down. Were they convinced? Yeah. So, yes, at that stage we must be convinced. Well, that is what I wanted to present to sort of establish the difference between Sambandha and Abhideya. And if we look at it, then maybe we are still struggling with our Sambandha. Maybe we haven't made the firm connection. Maybe that's actually what's going on. Maybe that's what's lacking. Maybe the connection is still not strong enough. Maybe that's really where we are. And if that is the case, how do we make it stronger? And that is my question to you. How do we make our connection stronger with Krishna and really move on to a stage where they become fixed, or where a devotional service becomes spontaneous, one could say. So this is always the question, how to break through to the spontaneous platform. Well, what's your suggestion?
We fake it until we make it.
Sorry, sorry, Cindy.
We fake it until we make it.
We fake it until we make it. Please, please. And then when everybody's gone, oh God, this case is, it's so difficult. Spiritual life is so difficult, but material life is impossible. That's sort of that type of level. Any other options?
Association
of who?
Of those people who are on their mission and
welfare. Okay, where are they? Just call somebody up. Okay, yeah. Bob, yep, if you look in the yellow pages on your bar, right? call somebody with Bob over, alright? Alright, mate, I got a real lead here, yeah? Can you drop her in? Drop us a bit of arse here this afternoon because it's a bit, you know, it's really lacking in, yeah? And we've been faking it and trying to make it, but it ain't. It can't go on like this much longer, you know?
Prabhupada said you can associate with the spiritual master, well, with him through his books and through the spiritual master.
Okay. So the spiritual master kicks in, sort of, at this stage.
Probably earlier as well.
Probably earlier as well, eh? Right. Yes, so, okay, spiritual master. Good. Although Guru Parasraya first takes shelter of a spiritual master, Vande Gurun Isabhaktam Isavatarakam, the opening words of the Chaitanya Charitamrita are also Vande Gurun. There, Gurun is described to be Siksha, the instructing spiritual master, the one who gives all the instructions, Diksha Guru, initiating spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada also explains in the introduction to the first chapter, he explains there that Vande Gurun is especially referring to the acharyas. He's saying it's referring to the entire parampara. And of course when we look at the parampara, which acharyas in particular do we follow?
Six
Goswamis, yes, very good. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is saying, if you're not following the six Goswamis, then it's not possible to be successful in spiritual life. They take away all the obstacles on the path. The six Goswamis, they are defining the path. And of all the six Goswamis, which one in particular? And why is it him? Why not Sanatana? He's the other brother.
This limo is... There's a draft and I can't handle it. Another one I don't mind. I can feel a cold coming out of it.
Why would Goswami? Why not Sanatana Goswami? He's the elder brother.
Translation.
Rupa Goswami, they said Rupa Goswami is the principle of the six Goswamis that we follow. But Rupa Goswami worships Sanatana Goswami as a spiritual master. So, shouldn't we be saying Sanatana Goswami?
Sorry, what translation?
Translation? What translation? What did he translate that? He what? He gave us the process of?
Bhakti.
Didn't Sanatana Goswami give that?
But we are following like Prabhupada's advice to lead the devotion.
But didn't Sanatana Goswami give everything in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, even more elaborately? And didn't he give the entire Vriya Bhagavatamrita, and doesn't that give all the levels of bhakti?
I think Rupa Goswami is
the
acharya for Abhidaya process.
Who says that?
Kalabhana Goswami is
the acharya
for
Samantha. Who says that? Krishna. Where does he say that? Where in the Chaitanya Charitamrita?
When Lord Chaitanya is instructing
with Majjhima. Majjhima, okay, yeah. Also even in the Adilila.
Really?
Yeah. Adilila in the beginning. In the first chapter. And the purport to the verses I read this morning, but I didn't finish the purport.
otherwise you'll be free. Yes, that is true. That is true. So, these six Goswamis, we connect with them through the books, right? That is the fact. And that's why, you know, you think like, well, we're studying Bhakti Shastri and it's nice because you get like, you can put BS behind your name, yeah? And that sort of keeps you humble, right? BS, yeah. Okay. Anyway, depends how you feel about that. Back to that, of course. So, this words, or this education of these books, Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's not a luxury. It's not just like, well, that's I read that book also sometimes. I should put it on the floor, guys. I read that also sometimes. It's essential. It's absolutely a must. I think you know that Srila Prabhupada in his early days used to perform fire sacrifices for initiations, and at that time on the four corners of the yajna he had a brahmana who would read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, and Bhagavatam at that time, Krishna book representing Bhagavatam. So that these four books are essential, right? Not a luxury, but essential. But we don't read them, yeah, because it's so difficult to read, no time to read, so hard to read. I was never a reader, yeah, we say, no. It's like, it's there that we have to make a connection. Nectar of Devotion speaks about the 64 aspects, 64 limbs of bhakti. You may be familiar. And out of those 64, there are five which I mentioned as the most important, which are? Okay, one was means hearing the Bhagavatam. What did you say? I couldn't, and that was Russian. And it's one language I don't speak. Oh, Maturavas. Russian with a South Indian accent. It's like Maruma. South Indian speak Maruma. My son marvels in the mountain. Intense. So, yes, Atula Vas. Okay, yes, I'm Sangha Association of Devotees. Okay, Srimurti. Where's the deity? And last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, yes, correct. So, residing in Vrindavan, what does it mean? How do you do it? When you live in Australia. I mean, you know, you guys are Melbourne Basis, not Madura Basis, I'm sorry. Some are born in Melbourne, and others are born elsewhere, but have moved to Melbourne, and here we are. Should we all move, should we all up this retreat, go to Vrindavan? For me it's easy, I'm going anyway go to Bombay, so it's not too far. I can do I might even do it. Who knows?
For a day. But so, what does it mean? It means that we have to consider ourselves a resident of Vrindavan. So it means that we are living in Vrindavan and we are visiting now. We don't really live here. It's not worth living here. There's nothing worth living in Vrindavan for other than Radha-Bhava. The only thing. And okay, I hand it to you. A little part of Gopal's every once in a while. fair enough. But beyond that, what else is there in all? Okay, cross for another deal. Okay, great. But anything else? The fun. Alright. And then stops. So, we are just visitors in Melbourne, and Melbourne is not important, in other words. It's just a place where we are, somehow or other. We're in Melbourne. Right. No, nothing to write home about, right?
I'm in Melbourne.
Right. Better write home, I'm in Vrindavan, right? Right now. That is much better. And to always, internally, that we must be in Vrindavan. Yes, I see your finger.
Oh, actually...
Not Prabhu.
Maharaj, you know, we've seen some devotees who are hardly visit Vrindavan, but they are very fixed up in the service here, and we see them advancing a lot.
We see them advancing, but sooner or later they have to make a relationship with Vrindavan. Doesn't mean you have to every week sit in Vrindavan, or every year be in Vrindavan, but you have to develop that mood that I'm living in Vrindavan, I'm serving. This is where I'm a resident of Vrindavan. In my mind, I'm always residing in Vrindavan. So that still has to be there, even if you wash the pots in Melbourne. Of course, if you serve Radha Vallabha, they are in Vrindavan. So that part is Vrindavan. But still, you have to think of yourself as a resident of Vrindavan. That is what Mathura Vas means. It is said in the notes to the first chapter of the 10th canto that it is said that Mathura is a state of consciousness. So Mathura Vas means a state of consciousness. So I try to describe that state of consciousness. You're residing in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, the pleasure of Krishna is the only thing that is important in Vrindavan. All of Vrindavan exists for that, for the pleasure of Krishna. Good. And then of course, so these five aspects of bhakti, which I would have written on the flip chart if we got it working, but somehow or other it's not flipping. We'll get over it because you already know it anyway. Five. Aspects, principal aspects of bhakti. Well, that is important, and I think that that is what we want to spend our time with. So, after having completed this part, I think we'll take a little break. Yeah, just take 10 minutes break, just to breathe and stretch, and go outside and do what needs to be done, and then sort of be back here in 10 minutes, and then we'll move into another gear. But this little bit of sort of philosophy I felt was important to bring it all together. Because this morning, whatever we did, it was all within the realm of struggling to complete our sambandha, our connection. We identified all kinds of areas which are there with sambandha. When sambandha doesn't work, does someone need a psychiatrist? Do we need psychology or not? Right? Do we or not? Maybe we do, right, at times. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible to use psychology. Is it possible to become a devotee? If a pure devotee, a Christian, if you never use psychology? Yes, it is possible. Should we just kick out psychology, would it be a good idea? Why not? Should we use psychology? Why not? Huh? But what should we do? Why not? The answer is why not? One way or another, it doesn't really matter, because Rupa Goswami said, Logiki Vaidhi, Vaidhi, Yet Kriyaki Atingune, Hari Sevan Kulariva. Whether it is mundane or whether it is scriptural, traditional, it doesn't matter. Both can be used when they're favorable for the Supreme Lord. Because Hari Sevan Kul, that is the essence, Hari Sevan Kul. So that's the answer to a Brahman from South India. The essence of Brahma is we put the ladies on the altar because it is Hari Seva Anakul. And if your Brahminical principles are not Hari Seva Anakul, then what's the use of them? What is the use of them? That is, what is the use of all the Dharma in the world? Chaitanya Charitamrita said, Dharma Adharma Vaha, it is like religious principles or non-religious principles. If they are bhakti virod, if they are opposed to bhakti, then they are known as kamsa, sinful. So even Brahmanical principles, when not used for devotional service, are actually kamsa, sinful. How about that? That's how we go here. So, back to the conclusion, we need to make that change, that Krishna must become most important to us, and that means we must increase our involvement in these five aspects of bhakti, these five principal aspects of bhakti, because it said if those are a little bit performed, then one can very quickly advance, very quickly attain love of God. So we have to put our energy there. It's not just that we should be able to say, yes, I've read the Bhagavatam. Have you read the Bhagavatam? Up to the sixth canto. Now, it should be like, are you absorbed in the Bhagavatam? Are you thinking through the Bhagavatam? If the Bhagavatam has it become like part of your thinking process, that's what it means to read the Bhagavatam. So much read the Bhagavatam that we just start to see the world through the Bhagavatam. That you realize that the Bhagavatam is not here in the book, but the Bhagavatam is everywhere. As I walk outside, I see the Bhagavatam. That's how it should be. Then one can say, yes, you are reading the Bhagavatam. Yes. So, Bhagavatam, we must really read. We must meditate. We must see the world through the Bhagavatam. Somehow or other, one must read it. Even if you sleep that half hour less, if that's the only option. But usually it's half hour wasted. And we don't need to sleep less, we just need to chat half an hour less, or sort of joke half hour less, or be on the phone half hour less, or sort of...
Surf
the internet for half an hour less. Something. Because we have to get into the Bhagavatam deep. Well, this is the more serious part. When you have a sandwich, you get like a loaf of bread, and then you get some sort of creamy, juicy substance like cheese and butter and all these things, and then again a loaf of bread. But this is a different presentation. It's sort of a layer of cream and butter and all kinds, and then a little bit of bread in the middle, and then again the cream. Right. So this is the bread. We've just gone through the bread. Some heavy duty substance, in a sense. So okay, let's take our 10 minutes to 5:15, and then we'll see again what to do.
And if you have questions, bring them back at 5:15. That's the first thing we do with them. We take your questions if you have any. If not, we'll move on to cream. The exact difference is that there's basically no difference. It's just the intensity, but the quality is the same. It is said that devotional service in Bhava Bhakti still had a sense of klesh, a sense of suffering, a sense that there are some obstacles, and in praying, that's gone. It is said that the love that is experienced in Bhava is of the same nature as in praying, but is like the first beginning of the day, of the light of the day, compared to high noon when the sun is at its brightest. So love of God is much stronger, praying is stronger. But Bhava is the same. These five types of suffering that are destroyed in Bhakti, they are mentioned in the this reference to these five qualities in Bhava that still remain is given in the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but there it's not explained what these five are. But in the Madhurya Kadambini it is mentioned what these five are, and here I have them. It is said avijja, ignorance, to falsely identify with or not have the proper understanding or awareness of the situation. Asmita, false ego, to identify with the body or only to accept things which can be experienced on the gross level. Raga, attachment, the desire for material happiness and less suffering. Dvesa, hatred, aversion to unhappiness or the causes of unhappiness. And abhinivesa, one who is attached to sense enjoyment and is afraid that death will take it away. So these are the five types of suffering of which traces are still there in Bhava. Avijja, smita, raga, dvesh, and abhinivesh. So dvesh, there's envy, a trace of envy. Trace of material attachment, trace of false ego, trace of ignorance, and a trace of attachment to sense enjoyment.
Maharaj, you said that there is Vaidhi Bhakti and Agamaga. You said to basically, like one of the points Prabhu mentioned was to become a Agamaga Bhakta, then you should follow in the footsteps of the Agamaga devotees.
The Grahastha devotees. Those are the embodiment of rags, which is Nanda Maharaj, Yasoda, and then the Raga Anuya are the ones who are following those Raga Atmika. Those were the embodiments of rag, or attachment to Krishna, eternally liberated associates of Krishna, and by following them, one becomes a Raga Anuya. However, Srila Prabhupada is saying that Raga Anuya already begins at an earlier stage, because in the second chapter of the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada already mentions that if you spontaneously develop a desire to go to Mangalartik, that's already Raganuga Bhakti. So that's already the mood. In the seed stage, it may not have fully developed to the point where you connect to one of the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, but you begin to develop this desire to just spontaneously serve Krishna. So that already Prabhupada counted as Raghunuga Bhakti. We take it as the seed of Raghunuga.
So the five potent forms, the most important which was mentioned, is that not like, of course, the Nectar of Devotion, there is a lot of rules and regulations. But you said that to get Raghunuga Bhakti, then you have to associate with the Raghunuga devotees, which is the five Goswamis of Vrindavan, and they read these
books. I didn't say that you had to associate with the Raghunuga devotees. That you put in. I didn't say that. I said we have to associate with the six Goswamis, especially
Rupa and Sanatana, and especially Rupa, because they are the principal followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we want to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we will get it. That Raghunatha Bhakti is part of all that, I agree with that, but the essence is, I put the emphasis on connecting with Mahaprabhu and getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mm. Yes?
Maharaj says Raghunatha is also a process like Vaidhi Bhakti. Is there anything different about this process?
Okay, the Raghunatha Bhakti process, as it is mentioned, is not really introduced by our acharyas. There is sadhana, Raghunatha sadhana, where one begins to worship not only Krishna, but one begins to worship a particular devotee in Vrindavan because one feels inspired to serve Krishna in that way. So if one has a desire to serve like a cowherd boy, then one may serve cowherd boys in his mind, one may meditate on cowherd boys, and if one wants to develop another mood, then one can develop attachment by meditation on these others, Nandini Yasoda, Vatsalya, and so on. But such Raghunatha sadhana is not introduced by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and not by Srila Prabhupada. We don't see it, right? And we don't know anyone in ISKCON who's really following that who is at least publicly doing so, right? So it is said that in order to attain the transcendental eternal identity and one's eternal relationship in a particular rasa with Krishna, one can go the path of cultivating that through a special sadhana, Raghunatha sadhana, or one can simply take up the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right, and just hear and chant and take on the preaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then automatically everything will develop. Yeah. And we see in our tradition, we see two branches. We see that there is a branch coming from a Sarup Damodar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarup Damodar Goswami, his secretary, then going, let me see who was first, I think it was Gopal Guru Goswami, and then Jnanachandra Goswami. And they are following a special sadhana to cultivate the eternal relationship, and they are also giving Siddha Pranali initiations into one's eternal identity. So, but then the other line, in the other line coming down through Rupa Goswami, as we're seeing it, as we're following, it's not cultivated separately. The only one then who again mentions it is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions it again in his writings and so on. But others are not really stressing it at all. And Rupa Goswami didn't stress it, Sanatana Goswami didn't stress it, nor did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur stress it, nor did Srila Prabhupada stress it. So we understand both these ways exist, but we, following our acharyas, are not following a separate Raghunatha sadhana. But we did see that Narayana Maharaj was introducing some separate sadhana. Yeah? But Prabhupada did not, and we also are not doing. We just rather internally serve in the mood, just as the residents of Vrindavan are only interested in the satisfaction of Krishna. We also internally serve in that mood. But a devotee may automatically develop some attraction to a particular type of service, and then may privately to himself develop that mood, but not publicly.
The reason one doubt comes is in Nectar's instruction towards the end. I don't remember in which verse, but probably the last or the second last verse. Srila Prabhupada mentions about the fact that one must follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. Now is that possible in the realms of Vaidhi-bhakti?
No, you cannot remain in Vaidhi-bhakti. No, you have to come to spontaneous devotional service. Just following rules and regulations, one has to go beyond it. We have to go to the point where we say, yes, we'll serve one of the residents of Vrindavan. But we are not going to do a special sadhana, right? A public sadhana. Yeah. We just follow the regular sadhana, but take it in that particular way. Right? That's basically how we are doing, and how we have fought, and how our acharyas have taught us. But you must follow a resident of Vrindavan, yes. Otherwise, in that same mood, right? Vaidhi-bhakti is still, I'm following these rules and regulations because it's my duty. Right. And if, as long as we're chanting 16 rounds out of duty, then we're not doing it out of love. Right. Then we don't do it for Krishna's pleasure. Then we do it because of some other reason. The reason may be that I don't want to take another birth. I don't want to suffer anymore. I want to be promoted to the spiritual world. These are sort of the motives. Yeah? I wouldn't mind. I'm curious to have a spiritual experience. So I'm chanting. But it's all self-centered. So, in Bhavanuga, you must become only interested in the pleasure of Krishna. Because that is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Mm. Okay.
There's also that comment when Los Angeles and Australia in the Gopi Bhav Club began, and then one of the devotees, you know, kind of challenged Prabhupada, and he said it says in Nectar Devotion you have to follow a resident of Vrindavan.
Yes.
And then Prabhupada said, I am that resident of Vrindavan.
Yeah.
So for us, we're following Prabhupada, we know that he's a resident of Vrindavan, we're confident that
sure.
By following his name. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, and we are not publicly worshipping, having that kind of sadhana, because it will just create confusion, right? People will just start, will prematurely take to that, and then everything becomes cheap, and therefore we cannot, you cannot stop it, you know, if you start worshipping in the mood of a gopi, and you start sort of thinking of yourself as a direct servant of Lalita, as an assistant of Rupa Manjari, then, you know, and you start singing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada in that mood, and you have pictures of Lalita and Vishaka and Rupa Manjari, and you yourself are thinking I'm a Manjari, you know, that's premature. That's premature. And if even those who are there start to practice that publicly, then others will start to follow it prematurely. That's why it's not recommended to publicly do such a thing, or even to privately start doing such a thing without the blessings of a spiritual master. Yeah.
Well, is it really important, like you were talking about the different levels, like Nishtha, Asakti, Bhava, Praya, is it necessary that we have to start pondering, like, you know, Sriksha Gurus, Viksha Gurus, and what level they are? Do we need to worry about this or not? Is it wrong to think like that also?
We can wonder as much as we like, but we will not know. See, we will not know, so you will never figure it out. So it's not so much that we have to try, and of course if we see that someone is blatantly not up to the standard, then that is one thing. So we use these understandings a little bit to see that someone is up to the standard, but it's not so much there to measure our gurus up to the standard, more Because we can only partially do that. Vaishnavira Kriya Vikina Bhujari. We can never understand the superior Vaishnava. But it's for ourselves that we understand what we have to go through. Okay, I think we should just go out, take a little sunshine, a little fresh air, stretch up and digest that pasta. Because, I don't know, but I feel like a mountain. I don't know about yourself, but I've noticed that some of you are in that pasta mode. And then I thought, for the pleasure of the deity, so let's put it into practice and let's not just ourselves go to digest pasta, that comes on the way automatically. That's not the goal of our mission. The goal of our mission is to rather, since we are here, is to make a special offering to Gaur Nitai. We all come, and they don't often get to see so many devotees, and they sit inside most of the time. And so I thought, it's a party, so why not make an offering to them as well, and give them a little bit of fun also. So in that spirit, we will take them out and have a little harinam somewhere. Keshava will sort of guide us around, I guess, because I don't know where we're going. You just decide. You're the local yokel. Okay, so let's get ready.